Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Come on. Welcome to Left Club. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Chris Willis. Chris, are you ready to do this?
I am. Good morning. Let's do this.
Chris is the Chief Marketing Officer, Chief Pipeline Officer with AcroLynx. He's a leader in the world of AI content governance and brand alignment strategy. Chris, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So, you know, I'm your average run-of-the-mill CMO that started with a theater degree from a liberal arts college. Okay, that's not really a thing, but it is true. And I think the interesting thing about that was I recognized, as one would, probably about junior year, that this was going to be a challenge from a life standpoint. It felt good to be directing theater, but I need to get a job. So I augmented that major with a minor that would get me the job that I wanted when I grew up. Philosophy was my minor. So no, I'm never going to work. as it turns out, never going to get a job. But I think I have the benefit of being a child of the 80s. I got my first Commodore 64 right when it came out, was coding games when I was in high school. And when I did get out of college, I could fall back on having some computer experience to get into a technology business, not necessarily in a technology role, and then work myself into those technology roles. Became a coder, was doing some early visual Java work at the beginning of the internet, which led me into sales, which led me into project management, which eventually led me into marketing. And here we are. And I think the interesting thing about the story arc on that is that there's a connection there between my education and what I do today. It wouldn't be such a great connection if I wasn't a C-level executive, but for the sake of argument, I am. And so we can talk through this story. As a director, as a theater director, my only job is to pick the right people to be in the play. Give them context, give them priorities, a little bit of blocking, and make the most out of them. That actually is a lot like what I do today. It's hiring the right people with the right skill sets to do the right jobs at the right time, provide them with the information they need, get all of the barriers out of their way, and make them successful. So as it turns out, those 4 years at Gettysburg College were worth a lot to what I do today, as far as being a manager. As far as being a CMO and owning the entire marketing operation of our business, I'm not sure it helped at all. But I've got 20 plus years of experience doing that. So it's all coming together here at AcroLynx. And, you know, I have 20 years of experience in mobile technology. That's where I built most of my career, early days of packaged mobile applications into cross-operation system platform development into mobile cloud testing. And then I ran into Andrew Bradenkamp, the founder of AcroLynx. And the product that he has built over many years solves a very real product for people like me. This isn't Mad Men anymore. We don't have a pool of writers that just type at typewriters all day creating the words of our company. you and I and everybody we work with are content creators. It's how the business grows. We come to work, we type things. And so there isn't a line item in my budget for content creation. It's just a thing that we all do. And because we all do it, we're not really trained writers. We're not really keyed into the style guide of the organization. We may or may not know the tone of voice that the head of experience would like us to communicate with. We don't know the words that we use and we don't use. We might be writing heavily technical content in English. In English as a second language. There's all kinds of things that get in the way of great, impactful content. Best intentions, but it's a long road from best intentions to impact. And what AcroLinks does is it helps align. It helps move all of that process back to the first draft. We capture the guidelines of the organization, the department, the team, right off the whiteboard, make it actionable. The system learns those and now guides people, a robot on your shoulder, tapping you, saying, you're not using the right words. Your content isn't clear. I would suggest you try this. You're not using the proper tone for this. If you add some changes here, it's going to make it sound more like us. And so for 15 years, that was really the focus of this product, was helping people write better content. What I came here to do, though, is push it further. And I think that's where things are getting really exciting in the world today. There's an understanding that content needs to be impactful. It is the touch point. So, I mean, George, you probably, you know, much like me, experienced the last 10 years of people saying digital shift is coming. You got to get ready. Everybody needs to be aware. Sure. And so what we're trying to do was talk enterprises into doing more on the internet. It was a fear tactic. Something's going to happen someday. And the only touch point you're going to have is the internet. But I don't think that's ever going to happen. I'm just a marketing person. March 10th, 2020, bam, digital shift happened. Oh, wow. Nobody leaves their house anymore. This is getting real. And so your touch point, your only touch point with your audience is the content, the collective content asset that you've created. It's how you talk to your audience. And it matters and it needs to be impactful. And so when you think through what AcroLinks has done for many years in aligning content around a guideline, the next logical step is to say, hey, are your guidelines okay? Because the end result of content alignment is a score. It's an objective numeric score that says, you know, if this is an 80 or better, it's clear, it's consistent, it's in the right character, it is inclusive, it's got the right emotion, it's everything you want about content. It's exactly how you envisioned it. Cool. Then I put it out in the world. How's it doing? Is it performing? So what's the point of it? What's the content you create? What's the point of it? How's it working? So if it's a blog page, why did you build it? Well, because I want to be found for the cool concepts that my company cares about. And I have some conversion points in there. I'm trying to generate some leads. How's that going? Well, we're not seeing a jump in conversion right now. We have some really impactful content. We have some content that's not working. Wouldn't it be interesting if through your use of AI, and objective scoring, you could see that you've created the content you want, then link with post-production analytics and see how that perfect content is performing, and then be able to build some models around that to either identify the fact that you're right and then spread that across a wider set of content, or conversely, understand that you're wrong, that the tone of voice that you created, the words that you're using are not impactful to your audience. And what we see through analytics is over here, there's this pocket of content that isn't necessarily what you think it should be, but it's performing really well. And maybe we should learn from that content. And all of a sudden we're informing our content strategy from our audience. Audience is helping us to understand how they want to be talked to. It's bringing our company closer. The end result being revenue, growth, retention, customer satisfaction. We're doing better as a global enterprise as a result of being intentional. So that's really what gets me excited right now. That's what I get up and do every morning.
Nice. That is very cool. So I think that I tracked all the way through the process. I think it makes a lot of sense. We need to make sure that our standards are correct in the first place, that we're creating content that is aligned to those standards. And then let's make sure again and revisit that, in fact, that those standards are what we want. And then how is it being received in the marketplace? Is it getting the results that we're looking for? And the result is complete alignment with what we want. And it's effective. That is pretty awesome. That is technology for good instead of evil, Chris?
It is. So I mean, you know, we incorporate AI into our product, and you get a lot of, okay, so you're just trying to replace writers. You know, we don't write anything. People are safe with our software. We remove mechanical work, difficult work. We solve big problems that allow people to be the creative aspect. Without the creative and the decision-making that humans bring, our AI isn't very valuable. We could make this draconian and make decisions for you. You said test. I think you mean quality. I'm just going to go ahead and change the word to quality, but maybe you meant test. Like maybe that was intentional. And so you need to be the one that takes our guidance and makes it action.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I don't know about you, but when I'm using AI for my business, I don't need it to tell me what to do. I know what I want. I just need help making it happen. With Wix, I finally have an AI tool that gets things done the way I want. I just have to describe the type of website I need, and it's ready. I can even ask it to manage my inventory, plan my next marketing campaign, or help out my customers. Wix gives me AI wherever I need it. Try it out at Wix.com.
So everybody's safe with our happy little robot.
Yeah, what I wrote down was it's a robot editor to a degree.
Yeah.
So just saying, hey, George, this looks great, buddy. You're doing awesome. I see that you use this test instead of whatever example you used. So it's just alerting me. It's sending it back and saying, this is excellent so far, but here's a couple of opportunities potentially to optimize this or to make it more aligned with your message. Or I know that you said that inclusion was an important aspect of what you're trying to accomplish here. Would you consider making tweaks here?
Exactly. So if you think in terms of what Microsoft Word does with spell check, that's correctness. That's making sure that your content is not embarrassing. It's spelled correctly. The grammar is okay. It's ready to be looked at. Where it goes from there is taking that correct, high quality, like objectively high quality content, and making that content more impactful. And that's through scannability and alignment to corporate words and phrases and tone of voice and like the clarity level required by the audience that you're communicating with, the consistency across the body of your content, things like inclusive language, accessibility, emotion in that content to take this correct content that comes out of whatever authoring environment you use and make it more valuable. And that's where the concept of content impact and what we identify as content impact platforms come into play. Is it's taking a thing, the content, and making that content achieve or surpass the goals that it has as an asset.
Nice. And I love the idea of content as an asset, and it's not really an idea, it's a fact. But I was thinking, the direction or the desire of a medical device company is going to be much different than an amusement park. So the inputs on the, for lack of a better term, the front end, as I'm training the AI, what does that look like? What is that process?
So it is very bespoke to each organization because everybody has their own tone of voice. They have their own words. They have their style guides that they use, whether it's they use AP or Chicago style, or they have something completely different that they created themselves. And the way that we communicate, like you say, is different from company and product, but even from department to department. So the way that you speak from a marketing standpoint or an internal education standpoint is going to be different than the way that you speak when you're creating support tickets. Clear, consistent, concise, no emotion, answering a question, getting a problem solved versus lively, conversational. Hierarchical rule sets say at the top, we all spell the name of the company right. But down from there, different tone for the people that we're communicating with, different words for the people you communicate with. So if you think of in terms of a pharmaceutical company, the way that you market a product to a nursing mother is going to be different than the way that you target a product to a 55-year-old man. And you would best be served by communicating to each of those people in the method, the mode that they want to be communicated in. And so the ability to take a piece of content that is the same base source content and tailoring that to your audiences makes a huge difference in the way that they consume that content. And again, drives end results, which is in most cases revenue.
Very cool. You said that this company had been around for a good little while. How long, not that it's ever perfect, because I'm sure that it's always being optimized and changed. How long did it take to develop this?
So this product was actually developed as part of a graduate degree program. And the earliest customer bought that, made the decision not to buy the project, but buy the product, because the intent was if they become a customer, not an investor owner, other customers will come in and help to evolve the product. And so over the course of 10 years early on, the product was formed and developed and expanded. In 2017, the company was acquired by a private equity firm in Germany called Genui. And that was the beginning of the next stage of development. That's I joined in 2017. And we began the process of expanding out in the next direction. And that's where we sit right now, is in this scale-up period where we've been growing pretty aggressively. We have, you know, in the area of 200 and something customers that represent the biggest companies in the world, because this really is a problem at scale. It's taking hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of documents and making them valuable. So we talked a little bit about content as an asset, but let's talk a little bit more about that. One of the interesting things that we discovered over the course of the last several years is that when you talk about things like efficiency, so, I mean, you can easily see just from what we talked about that we're creating an efficiency in the editorial process. There's obviously value there. If I don't have to spend 3 to 4 weeks going back and forth between writer and editor, and then editor and stakeholders, and then legal and writer and back and forth, like, I'm saving time, I'm saving money, I'm getting more done, I'm getting more actionable content, because half of the content that's created in the enterprise right now is thrown on the floor anyway, because it's no longer relevant by the time it's delivered. So this idea of efficiency, I can save you money in your content. And you say that to somebody at a huge company, and they say, cool, point to the line in my budget where I spend money on content, and then you can talk to me about how you save me money. And unless they're outsourcing everything to an agency, they're right. It's not a line item. You're creating content every day. You don't have a strict budget for content. It's words that you're creating. You're putting them on paper. And so the redirect there is to think about the body of content that either they manage or their office, their company has in-house, and the value associated with that. And it's usually a shocking conversation. So if you just take one subdomain at one of our customers in their technical documentation website, a million pages. They can argue about how much it costs to create a single page. We have some mechanisms to try and assess that, but let's say it's $1,000. Again, argue and say it's $500. It really doesn't diminish where we're headed.
Sure.
It is a $1 billion asset. Like, you have a very expensive asset in your business. Are you managing this like a $1 billion asset? And in almost every case, the answer is no. How much are you maintaining? How much are you revisiting each year? What are you reviewing? What are you uplifting? And the answer is usually about 10%. So 90% of your content is aging out on a daily basis in a world where regulations change, compliance requirements change. So you're creating risk in your aging content because you're not bringing it up. What if you started looking at this as an asset? How could you get more out of this $1 billion that you've spent over time? And this becomes a very interesting conversation for companies, because you don't think that way. You don't think about the things that employees do on a day-to-day basis as being that big of an asset. But when you start holding up content next to other assets in the business, it sits next to the product and the brand from a value standpoint. Like, this is the thing that drives the business. It is literally the water that is flowing through this business, keeping everybody alive. And you need to treat it as such. And that's where we see this need to not just write better content, but own better content, more impactful content. And the ability to look at, you know, for instance, I see this one page and it's converting at the 10% that I want it to. Why? Like, beyond the topic, why? How is it written? What are the fundamental guidelines associated with the creation of this piece of content? Can we find more content? Can we look across all of our content, score all of it, and find more that looks like this? And if we can't, can we make more? Can we use this as the guideline model to go and take things that we own, make it feel like this, and then push it out and see how it converts? And I mean, I'm a marketer. Every point of conversion matters, because every point of conversion costs me less on the front end and gets more on the back end. All of this becomes impact that leads, again, to, I'm going to say the word, revenue. Bam.
I love it. From theater to philosophy to helping organizations not only write better content, but own better content. It's a natural thing. Natural progression, Chris. I love it.
It's a thing.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming out. Where can people learn more about you and how can they engage with AcroLinks?
So I am at CP Willis at LinkedIn. And AcroLinks is www.acrolinks.com. We would be happy to answer any questions that anybody has. But I think the one thing that I want people to take away from this is, I mean, we sell software and I would love everybody to buy it. But it's not about the software necessarily. It's about being intentional. And if you look at, you know, consistency matters. There's a right way to do things. And if you document that, you're eroding value. If you document that and stick to it, you're building value. Getting things right early saves more time and money. If you measure something, it actually gets managed pretty well. And as it turns out, most things can be measured. So even without software, being intentional about the way that you create content and why, thinking through the, what am I writing? Why am I writing it? What's the purpose of this? And how do I make it achieve that purpose? Just that alone, no software, no AI, no technology, drives value into the business. That's something that every single person listening, not listening, in the world can do on a day-to-day basis to create more value for their business.
I love it. That makes a ton of sense. Christopher, thank you so much for coming on again. If you enjoyed this much as I did, check out AcroLinks. It's acrolinks.com, acrolinx.com. You can find Christopher at CP Willis on LinkedIn. I'll link all of those in the notes of the show. That was a lot of saying the word links right in a row, Christopher, but we get the idea. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
How many times have you wished you could be in two places at once? With Wix, you practically can. Wix's website builder is packed with powerful AI tools to make running your business online easier. Build a full site just by talking with AI. Get an AI agent to manage your sales and marketing. Or work like a 10-person team, even if it's just you. So you don't need superpowers to get everything done. You just need Wix. Try it now for free at Wix.com.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.